Ladies and gentlemen, members of this divinely inspired organization, when a witness is called to offer expert testimony in a courtroom, he is subjected to an examination by counsel to establish his qualification for giving such testimony. I stand before you this afternoon not as an alcoholic. All of my lifetime, I have been totally abstemious. I have drunk perhaps a thimbleful of liquor in a lifetime. I have a physiological disaffinity for alcohol in any form. I get sick very quickly. Nevertheless, all of my adult life, I have been in company with, tried to understand, and labored at the side of both men and women who have suffered the illness of alcohol. And in talking with you this afternoon, I should like to reminisce and tell you why I have, for all of my lifetime, been so deeply interested. In the first place, my favorite uncle was a chronic alcoholic. I have a brother, as my fellow townsmen in Cleveland know, who is a chronic alcoholic and is now a member and a leader in Alcoholics Anonymous. But last night, in talking with a group of AAs for the first time in my life, I related to them an early experience of my journalistic career. A good many years ago, when I had scarcely turned into my maturity and was a cub reporter, I asked for and I got the assignment of spending as many days and nights as was deemed necessary to write a story about those who were considered less fortunate than others. I spent 11 days and 11 nights with very little sleep and very little food in the flop houses, in the taverns, in the saloons, on the city dumps of this area, talking with, confiding in, and being confided in by both men and women, most of whom were ill with the illness of alcohol. I came back to the Cleveland Press, and I wrote a series of articles, and from that day until this, I have dedicated my life and intend to dedicate the balance of my life, both personally and journalistically, trying to emphasize the fact that chronic alcoholism is equally as serious an illness as arthritis or any of the other ills which human flesh in this confused and chaotic world is suffering. And I should like this afternoon, in those few moments which I have at my disposal, to say to you, first of all, that like you, I believe in God. In a universe so infinite as ours, it is interesting, significant, and for me somewhat conclusive that those who are closest to the study of this mysterious world, the scientists, are the most devout and religious people of all. No man studying this universe, looking through a microscope to pick up the minutiae that defies the strength of the naked eye, finding there organisms so small that they need to be magnified 1,000-fold for the eye, and finding there an orderly pattern, and then turning to the biggest telescope in the world, that upon the summit of Mount Palomar in California, and projecting that same human eye millions of light miles, light years in the interstellar space, and at the very end of that projected sight, hundreds of thousands, millions of miles away, at the end finding identically the same pattern, the same orderly pattern, there, way off in space, as was found in the minutiae under the microscope, no scientist, no human being can help but believe that there is over us all a divine providence, a divine guidance, and a divine pattern. A power infinitely greater than any one of us as individuals. And I know that every one of us leans heavily upon that power and should. And we are very much, all of us, like those who climb the mountains. The nearer to the top we get, the nearer to the stars above we reach. But as we make this tedious, sometimes tormenting climb, there is always the danger of the uncertainty of the foot, and it sometimes sets us back, and it makes it necessary for us with redoubled strength to move forward. In this audience this afternoon are men and women for whom I have a great, profound admiration and pride. There is something about the man or woman who has found his or her way in Alcoholics Anonymous, in that communion which I believe is one of the most divine in America, that communion with other men and women sharing the identical experience and the great satisfaction of reshaping their lives and re-strengthening and regenerating their spirits and their outlooks upon the future. For me, ladies and gentlemen, and I am pleased to have among my associates at the Cleveland Press members of this great organization, for me, you are great and good citizens. You have gone through an experience. You have been in the crucible, and the dross has burned away from you, and as a consequence, such metal as remains is bound to be stronger by virtue of what you have endured. And so I say that I greet you this afternoon with pride and admiration and affection. And I sincerely congratulate those two men who, by the grace of God, will be here at this convention with you, whose great vision, whose inspiration was responsible for creating this, which in my opinion is the miracle organization of the 20th century. Ladies and gentlemen, I do not have much more to say. I have talked with you this afternoon a great deal more from the heart than from the head, because I believe so deeply, so profoundly in this organization and what it does for every one of us. And when I say every one of us, I say as a non-alcoholic, that what each one of you does for himself or herself, you do for the United States of America, and you do for humanity. Because if ever there was an organization that has led the way, has blazed a modern trail, that has so graphically demonstrated that chronic alcoholism is an illness, and that it should be treated with equally as careful clinical examination, sympathy, understanding, and compassion as any other of the human ailments, it is this organization and those of you who are in it. And finally, I should like to say to you, God bless you, keep you strong. Believe in God, believe in yourself, believe in that spirit of fellowship and communion, which this common experience has done for all of you, and support this great organization to the utmost, not alone for yourselves, but for all of the other men and women who, like yourselves, are confronted with this same human illness. I sincerely hope that you thoroughly enjoy your experience in Cleveland, and that this community offers to you the utmost of its hospitality. And if any of you are in need of anything, perhaps I can exert what little influence I have with the honor of the mayor to obtain it for you. But may your deliberations light the way, and may your fingers always touch the stars.
Mr. Chairman, Bill W., members of AA, and their guests, I have brought regrets from Dr. Gurman, medical director of the DuPont Company. He had hoped to be here, but because of the defense measures, he is tied up in Wilmington and is very sorry that he could not be at this conference. There's been a lot of education, of course, in the last 8 to 10 years on alcoholism. For those of us who came in a few years ago, there wasn't too much, but in the last 8 years, alcoholism has been given a lot of education. Magazines, movies. There's probably less reason now for many alcoholics to stay suffering. The need of education is, of course, still tremendous. We apparently number about 100,000 members of AA, and the national figures of alcoholics in the country actually or potentially alcoholic appear to be between 3 and 4 million. So 100,000 isn't too many. This general education, while it is caught on pretty much in general with the general public, has not caught on too much with industry. Industry has been rather slow to do something about the alcoholic employee. Probably the last 2 or 3 years, there has been really an acute awareness that the problem exists. And I think in the last few years, quite a big step forward has been taken. I happen to be with the DuPont Company. We have had a program for rehabilitation of alcoholic employees since 1943. For 5 years, the work that we did was very quiet. It's only been the last 18 months that the company has come out to the effect that it has a policy. Now, besides DuPont, there are probably a dozen large corporations who have formulated a plan and are doing something. There's Eastman Kodak. They have been very active through their medical director, John Norris. Consolidated Edison. Alice Chalmers. And there are probably a half a dozen others. With Dr. Gehrman, the DuPont Company, he was exposed to this program of Alcoholics Anonymous by a member of the Philadelphia group. Incidentally, he's in this room, visiting here from California. Dr. Gehrman has made many statements to this effect that in 33 years as a medical director or as a doctor, he had never been able to help one problem alcoholic employee. He said it was really sad because I have seen thousands of valuable men lose their jobs. He says, and many have lost their lives. He became very much interested from his first meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous in Philadelphia. I was brought down from Connecticut with a subsidiary of the DuPont Company 6.5 years ago. I have a job with the DuPont Company. I work out of the medical division. I am known as a medical investigator. That means I visit people who are out sick or absent. Lined up with that particular job classification, I do see cases as they develop and try to get to our numerous DuPont plants with a program of what we are trying to do. It is still pretty intangible. We had this reaction, at least Dr. Gehrman had it first, when he proposed this work to be done in the company, he was met by top management with this thought. Are people going to think that DuPont have so many drunks that they need a special department? Then from another part of top management, the thought was, are our employees going to get the impression we're trying to curtail their social drinking or their social life? So that Gehrman has to be very much admired because he stuck his neck out very severely. And now, of course, after 6.5 years, top management, the DuPont Company, is very much pleased with the results. Dr. Gehrman claims in all his time as a medical director before AA, his recovery rate was exactly zero. Zero. Now, through the help and cooperation of Alcoholics Anonymous, we are getting 65% recovery. Bars being an industrial problem, it's very hard to get specific figures. A lot of agencies feel that it costs industry in general at least $1 billion a year. 60 to 70% of alcoholics are employed in industrial concerns. So it's really up to industry to step into this problem. I'm going to read you the policy that we have. It's not too rigid, but we've had so many requests from different other concerns, just what we do, so I think it'd be easier to read it to you in general. Program for the handling of alcoholics in the E.I. DuPont, DeNemers and Company. Since 1943, we have found that the most successful method of handling the alcoholics is with the cooperation and help of Alcoholics Anonymous. Prior to 1943, all kinds of medical programs were tried without appreciable success. The program in association with Alcoholics Anonymous is rehabilitating 65% of our problem drinkers. We wish to emphasize the fact that proportionately we have no more problem drinkers than exist in any other company or community. We consider alcoholism as a disease and feel that the rehabilitation of problem drinkers is as much a part of the medical program as any other disease problem. The medical staff includes a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. This member is a lay individual and not a medical. His duties are as follows. Help in the rehabilitation of any problem drinkers in the Wilmington area. From time to time, he is sent to various parts of the country where the DuPont Company has plants to help in special cases. Number two, help establish branches of Alcoholics Anonymous in locations where the DuPont Company has interest and where no branch exists. Three, to visit various Alcoholics Anonymous branches in those parts of the country where the company has plants or units for the purpose of becoming acquainted with the members of these branches and acquaint them with the plan of the procedure in the DuPont Company. Deliver lectures to management, supervision, and workers for the purpose of educating them in the up-to-date and successful method of treating alcohol, the alcoholic. By his own efforts, and with the help of other employees of the DuPont Company and members of Alcoholics Anonymous, to discover as early as possible the problem drinkers, especially those we classify as hidden problems. The hidden drinker to us is the individual who is not too well known publicly as a drinker, but is a lone drinker, and unless his case can be discovered early, he is quite likely to become a serious or even an impossible problem. The technique of handling an individual case is as follows. When it has been determined that an individual is a problem drinker, his immediate supervisor has a talk with him, telling him that he's a medical problem and is being turned over to medical for a period of 3 months. The employee then reports to medical, where considerable time is spent with him, educating him to the fact that he has a disease which is interfering with his business life and his future success. Also, his home life is badly disturbed, and that the time has come when he must do something about it. He is told that he has 3 months to prove to medical that, one, he recognizes his own problem. Two, he is anxious to do something about it. He is informed that at the end of 3 months, medical will make recommendations to his superiors, these recommendations being, one, that he has recognized his problem, is taking it seriously, and we believe that in all probability he will be a good employee as far as alcoholism is concerned for the future. Or, that he does not recognize his problem, shows little or no interest in rehabilitating himself, is not a good risk for the future, and his employment should be terminated. We instruct the employee that he may pursue any method or cure or relief that he chooses. We do not insist that he join Alcoholics Anonymous.
We do insist that he be interviewed by a member of Alcoholics Anonymous who explains to him the organization works, what it has done, and what it can do for him. We also insist that he attend one Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and inform him that from then on, it is up to him to choose his method of treatment. He is told that he cannot have a leave of absence with pay. He can, however, have leave of absence without pay. The above represents our general procedure and has been successful to the extent of 65%, which in our experience is 65% better than any other method we have tried or pursued. That's signed by Dr. G.H. Garman, medical director. So it does give, I think, for a lot of you, a little plan of how we're going about it. They say it's still very flexible. If I have a case sent to me through management or supervision, the fact that I'm able to tell that employee that I am a member of Alcoholics Anonymous, that I am an alcoholic, and that I'm not, in the first place, I'm not trying to make him an alcoholic. Maybe because of my experience, I may help him from becoming an alcoholic. That, in many cases, takes away the tension. So often when a man is brought in to be disciplined, there's a lot of tension, and the first thing is to get him a little bit relaxed. I'll tell him that it's up to him to find out himself if he has a drinking problem. And it should be the most important thing in his life to find that out. No matter what his job is, I will tell that employee, I'm not too much concerned about his job. He may be a chemist, he may be pretty high up in management. He may be a carpenter, doesn't matter. But I'll tell the man, I'm not too concerned about his job as much as I am about his life or his sanity. He can easily get another job. My concern from that angle would be to this effect that as an alcoholic, he is a valuable employee, considering the big percentage of alcoholics. For that reason, and for his service and his experience, the company would like to keep him. I would try to get that man to realize, very honestly, if he has a problem, to help him find out. It's not always easy. There are lots of times men come in, have been sent in, and they feel they're under pressure, and they're very reluctant to admit they have a drinking problem because there is that fear of losing their job. I had a case with a chap in the company, a PhD. He's quite a brilliant fella. He's proved that in his work, chemistry and explosive work in the last war. He's quite an important man in the company. Up to the time of AA, he was a very self-important individual. I called him into my office one day, made a pretense of bringing him up there to talk about an x-ray, and when he was settled and seated, I said, Doctor, I brought you here under false pretense. I happen to be a member of the Alcoholics Anonymous. And a lot of your friends are concerned about the way you are drinking. Well, immediately he popped right up and he said, I'll have you know, he said, that I am not an alcoholic. So I said, well, Doctor, I'm certainly not trying to make you one. I said, but there is quite a lot of concern. And I said, I would like to perhaps help you to understand this problem. So instead of being a little meeting me halfway, he becomes very curious, and he told me, he said, I feel highly insulted. He said, now have you know that this thing will go much higher. And he's pushing past me to go to the door, and by that time there's a little Irish in me, so I said, well, you should know just one thing. I've known about you for 3 years. You have a history, a pattern of drinking that is typical of any self-respecting alcoholic. The thing the things you are doing and have been doing, I said, are typical. Now, I said, Doctor, with that history, if you are not an alcoholic, then you're nuts. Didn't leave him much choice, did it? Well, he stopped. He said, well, he said, I don't think I'm crazy. And I said, no, I don't either, or I never would have been that unkind. I said, I think you should give this some consideration. I said, as far as you taking it up higher, I said, a request has come from top management on your case. So with that, he sits down, and he says, maybe I should come a little more in the open. He says, perhaps I am a little bit alcoholic. I said, that could be. I said, have you ever heard of a woman who is a little bit pregnant? She either is or she isn't. And in your case, either you have a problem or you don't. Well, that man just changed so completely. He and his wife, incidentally, his wife too, is quite a problem. He and his wife have been very active members of the Wilmington group for the last 4 years. And from being very self-important, he's become a very humble man with a lot of good humor. Our big trouble with him, he goes down in the Bowery section and takes too many bums home and bathes them and works on many impossible cases. In talking to groups of supervisors and management groups and the men at safety meetings, unions, I'll give them a little brief outline of what this disease of alcoholism is. I'll give them a little outline of what alcoholics has done and what that is. I'll give a little outline of my own personal drinking experience. And, of course, I would make a very definite point to bring in some of the philosophy of AA that has helped so many of us to recover. In all cases, these groups find the philosophy and they find a message of this kind very interesting. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. One time I spoke to the union. They wanted to know a title for their talk, for a talk of this kind, to put in their paper. So on the spur of the moment, I said, I think a good title would be How to Enjoy Drinking Longer, which does make sense. We have found a lot of men who've been exposed to either a talk or a few AA meetings who were not alcoholics, who were heavy drinkers, but in through an education, they've found a way to put the brakes on and tone down on their drinking. If we can do that, that's a big help. I stress very definitely and very enthusiastically to supervision, they cannot tell an employee that he has to join AA or else. They can tell him that he has to stop losing time because of drinking, or he has to stop drinking on the job. But that is very emphatic, because I know, as a member of AA, that there can be no pressure towards bringing us into this movement. But through a sympathetic understanding on the part of management and supervision, they can talk to a man along the line, look, Bill, I've just found out that this is a disease. That in our company, our medical treat this as a medical problem. Now, instead of bawling the devil out of you the way I've done before, I would like to help you. And I can tell you where you can talk to a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've heard about AA, and it certainly seems to make sense. Now, we're getting many cases coming into AA through that understanding on the part of supervision. I came up here yesterday and visited the local DuPont plant. The first thought, the first greetings all. The local DuPont plant. The first thought, the first greetings I had by management was this. We have a fellow that's been in AA 4 months. We have never seen such a personality change in any one person. And it is what has happened with this individual. That contact came through the medical doctor. This man, after 35 years service, was on the point of going out. The medical doctor lined him up with a group here in Cleveland, and the fellow is a very happy person. He has found an interest. He has found a cause for his unhappy life and his drinking. He now knows what he's up against. Now that man, in turn, is quite willing to help as a contact man for any other problems that come up in that plant. Last autumn, I was sent up to Boston to see a telephone operator. This girl had 30 years service. This problem had not developed until the last couple of years, and they were a little bit afraid to mention it to her. They were afraid they'd hurt her feelings. That happens quite often, by the way. The sad part is that often they wait, instead of hurting our feelings to help us, they wait until we're fired, and then they really hurt our feelings and our pocketbook. This girl was very much ashamed. She'd done a lot of good work. Very much ashamed that she'd been caught half drunk in the office and sent home, and for me to be brought up there. Well, I soon taught her language. She's from the south of Ireland, I'm from the north, and we made a wonderful partnership. She had a contact with the Boston group. The Boston groups were most cooperative. Whether she's staying along with the groups, I don't know, but she's had this chance to straighten out her problem. And from now on, it's up to her. But that thing is happening many times. Later, for any particular questions, please let me know. Dr. Gurman, for instance, interviewed a man, a doctor. A doctor had committed himself to the Maryland State Hospital for a period of 1 year. He got pretty fidgety after 3 or 4 months, heard about Gurman's interest, made arrangements to come up for an interview, hoping he would get a job as a chemist with his background. He arrived in our office with an attendant, an M.D. with an attendant. Gurman spoke to him and said, "Listen, Dick, how would you like to work here in this office with me?" Well, this fellow nearly dropped off his seat. That man, that doctor, has been with us now for nearly 6 years. He's just had a very good promotion to a bigger plant. He is one of three physicians. We hired another doctor just 3 weeks ago. Been dry 2 years. We have 16 chemists, PhDs. Men that have had a lot of training, intelligence, a lot of ability. We have altogether from 250 to 300 DuPont employees who are active with various groups of Alcoholics Anonymous. You can see what that means. 250 men who have had, in most cases, quite a lot of training, whether they're operators or carpenters or chemists, it doesn't matter. We have the wives of many employees. We have relatives. It means a lot to a foreman or an operator or a mechanic or an executive. It means a lot to him if his wife is dry and happy at home rather than being drunk, and he's trying to work knowing that she is home drunk. He's able to do a much better day's work. So that many lives have been touched, pretty much, you might say, by one man's interest in the industrial line. We have, as part of my work too, is trying to get the numerous plants to give out information on Alcoholics Anonymous, the box number, some of the fundamentals, for instance, those 20 questions. And we've had a lot of cooperation from the different plant organs. And here, just recently, the last 3 months, we finally got a very good write-up on AA in one of the company magazines. It's published every other month. This gives a story in picture form. It's very much like life. It's very close to many of the employees. A copy goes to every employee of the company, and there are around 76,000. This article in what is known as Better Living magazine, and they have given 5 pages to the work of Alcoholics Anonymous. They've stayed close with the traditions. No names are mentioned. No faces of the man who represents Mr. Anonymous is not an alcoholic. But even so, his face is not shown. It's a very, I was very much pleased because it covers our problem in a very rich tone. Those who have seen this article will agree with me. You could get a copy by writing to the Better Living magazine, DuPont Company, Wilmington, Delaware. Incidentally, I did mention Alice Chalmers. They have a very concrete plan for their rehabilitation work. They have a representative here who has a table in the corner. He has or can get for you a copy of the Alice Chalmers work with problem alcoholic. All he wants you to do is to give your name on a penny postcard, and he will send you a copy of this article. I know you'll enjoy it because it has a lot of factual information. The work I do, for myself, I'm terribly grateful that I am in this particular kind of work. That is not so important as the fact that it is being done. That, to me, is important. Many AAs write in wanting to know how they can hook up with organizations and perhaps do work along the same line. Dr. Gurman and I have talked it over, and I know from my own experience, my thought would be this. If you feel that you would like to carry on and bring this thing out more in industry, get a job with an industrial concern. Get a job that you are qualified to handle for your own particular ability in that job. Then make it known to the medical. That's a good place to start. Or to personnel. Make it known that you are a member of Alcoholics Anonymous and that you would be very pleased to help on any contact work. It isn't too easy to get some companies to work along with you. I know even in our plants, if I go to a plant and maybe someone in top management is a heavy drinker, he doesn't want any part of my program. Puts the spotlight on him, and I just don't get in. But that would be our thought along that line, and I still think this kind of work is definitely in a pioneer line. And I would certainly give anyone my blessings to at least try it. I would like to close with this statement by Dr. Gurman. He's made this, I think, at the Chicago medical meeting and in Detroit. He said, "I take less risk hiring a member of the Alcoholics Anonymous than I do hiring anyone else." He said, for the simple reason that that member of AA certainly knows his problem. He is honest with himself. And he's a person who is trying to grow up emotionally. I think that's a pretty high recommendation. Thank you very much.